Today, we'll choose an EV for a viewer looking for a very plush ride for under $60,000, a growing family looking for an SUV while they wait for the next-gen Ford, and a viewer who wants to swap out their Hyundai Santa Fe for something with access to the Tesla Supercharger network. Hello, and welcome to Battery Bargains, a series from the Batteries Included podcast. This is episode number 23. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I'm joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, along with Tom Logney, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, email us a couple short paragraphs with your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So are you guys ready to go car shopping?
Absolutely.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Patrick. He writes, "Hi, I've driven a couple of EVs and haven't been happy with the ride quality. Too firm. Could you recommend a plush riding EV under $60,000? My only requirement is a decent level 3 charging time, 10 to 80%. Under 45 minutes for road trips. I don't care about styling, driving dynamics, etc. I just want to feel like I'm riding on clouds as I have in my luxury gas cars in the past. Thanks, Patrick." All right, that's short and sweet. And so, plush riding cars, Tom. You know about plush riding cars, right?
Sure. You know about everything, Don. You know that.
Right?
So, I'm gonna mention a car that and we didn't talk about this amongst ourselves, but I'm gonna mention a car that I bet you guys aren't expecting me to say. Tell me if I'm surprised you or not. Volkswagen ID.7.
I did not expect that.
I did not expect it. It did cross my mind earlier today, just because ID.7 news out there. But yeah.
So I recently did the first drive for the Volkswagen ID.7 a couple months ago, and I was thoroughly surprised with how comfortable that was. I think I even in my Inside EVs review said it's my new favorite electric vehicle road tripper. I'll have another favorite in a month or so. But that's, you know, when you get surprised, when you're not expecting something, it's better than what you expected. You're like, just holy cow. That's how I felt with the ID.7. I thought it'd be a good, nice, comfortable ride, but I was super impressed with how comfortable, how quiet it was. It's got like 28-way massaging seats, super soft, cushy ride. That's my soft, cushy road tripper that I'm going to recommend for you. It's not available yet. It's going to be available, I think, over the summer. So we're only a couple, maybe 3-4 months away. It's right in your budget. It's going to start in the low 50s, I think. I don't know if Volkswagen announced that price yet, but you'll be able to get one for under 60K. There you go. That's my recommendation. Volkswagen ID.7. There are others out there, which I'm sure these guys are going to bring up, but that's my spec for you.
All righty. And what's the charge time on that? He just needs under 45 minutes.
Yeah, under 45 minutes. I think it was like 32 minutes. 10 to 80%. I know it's not record setting, but it's well under 45 minutes for sure.
Right. Plus that 80% gives you a lot of miles. Like the ID.7 has a lot of range, doesn't it?
It's got good driving range. Yeah, we haven't road tested it really and get real world range, and I don't think it's officially EPA range rated yet, but it's going to have nice long range. It's more efficient than the ID.4, even though it's bigger. Volkswagen made some efficiency gains on that, and it'll be a great road tripper. Honestly, I really enjoyed my time. I spent a lot of time driving it on the highway with Jordan from Out of Spec, and we both agreed. We're like, wow, this far exceeded what we were expecting.
Right on. So, Martin, what do you know about plush, soft riding cars?
He's talking my language now. First of all, thank you for sending a short email, and we'll try and give you short answers as well, and maybe some ideas that hadn't crossed your mind. As the Polestar's cheerleader in chief, as I am these days, you could get a Polestar performance version set the O-line's dampers all the way to whatever it is, like, you know, minus 10 or, you know, it's like, I think it's like 20 notches on them, and just run it on comfy boy mode and never, ever take it near the track. And that's a very comfy riding car. But of course, I have one now, so I have to say that. And we need the bell for the Audi e-tron. That's except with the air suspension. That's exceptional. We'll ring that bell virtually somehow. And we mention it every show. That's really good. Hey, I think, in all seriousness, I think what you should do, depending on your taste for nearly new cars, I think you should take advantage of the depreciation factor that's hit with the supply and demand with EVs that's happened in the last 12 months. So I think you should go nearly new. I think you should look for a car that's got 5,000 miles on it and it'll feel like it's been barely run in. And that way you can start looking for BMW iX. You can look for BMW i5. Nearly new won't get you an i7, but it'll get you an i5. I think as well, maybe you should have a look at the Porsche Taycan Cross Turismo, because that might ride how you want it to. But there are probably some curveballs that you should look at. I would suggest, though, because all of those new are out of your price range, but nearly new, 6 months old, someone's taking a big hit on the depreciation with those cars. Have a look at those other cars depreciating quite highly, the Genesis cars, and there's no reason for those not to be brilliant. They're made by Hyundai and Kia, and the GV70, which you get, you don't get the 80, we get the 80. That's the big boy wafter. It wafts down the road. But you get the 70, and you should go and have a look at that as well.
Right on. So when I think of big, soft, plushy rides, I think of, you know, I think back to the 70s when the, you know, Cadillac and Lincoln were, you know, two big American brands famous for that kind of a ride. And sadly, Lincoln does not have an EV out there yet, but Cadillac does, and I've had a chance to drive it. And just recently, on a recent road trip, I noticed a few across the country, and they just have a great presence on the road. But what you're interested in is ride, and I think it has a great ride as well. So it's got a five-link suspension. I believe that's front and back, and it has a frequency-tuned shocks with mechanical valving to control the jounce and rebound, and I think it does a really good job of that. You know, it just eats the miles. Plus, it has a, the interior is super quiet because it's got the noise reduction, automatic noise reduction happening inside, so it's a super quiet car, and just it feels nicely insulated, I guess. And prices wise, there, you know, here's one I was looking up really quickly before the show. This one is what it's $55,315, brand new, and it's beautiful black, and it's a luxury one, rear wheel drive, so it doesn't have all the power, but it's got all the range. So I think it's EPA rated for over 300 miles of range, which is great. But if you wanted to save some cash and go use, there's some great deals out there as well in the used market. You can find super low mileage cars, you know, like couple thousand miles for, you know, in the low 50s and below, depending on what spec you want to go to. So Cadillac Lyriq is really, I think it's a great car. It looks great on the road. I love the ride. I think it's something that you should at least test drive. Like all the cars, I always like to suggest, like, use this as an opportunity to go test drive on it. All right. Does that sound good?
Good plan. Yeah.
All right. So our next case comes to us from Ryan, who sent us an email and says, "Hi, all. Just started listening to the podcast and enjoying the conversation. I work in the EV charging space and love the information you guys provide. I'm looking into getting my first EV. We're currently a one-car family in the DC metro area. My budget is $45,000. We are a family of three with a golden and another one on the way." I believe he means another child, not another golden. "I'm looking at a 5 to 6 seater SUV. Interested in the Ford Mustang Mach-E, Tesla Model Y, and used Tesla Model X, or other recommendations. I qualify for a $7,500 tax break, plus $3,000 for new EVs in Maryland under $50,000. I'm only putting less than 8,000 miles on the car a year, with a trip to New York, New Jersey once a month, 225 miles each way. What would you all recommend? With NACS being added to non-Teslas, will lease deals be attractive for CCS-equipped EVs? This will be a go-between EV for when Ford comes up with their second-gen Lightning/T3 planned for 2025, likely waiting until the first year refreshes to purchase in late 2026. Ryan W. All right. Martin, what do you have in mind here for Ryan?
Well, first of all, I'm really interested that he says he works in the EV charging space. Mm-hmm. So I wish he told us what he did, because we're always looking for inside people to tap up on knowledge. Right. That's interesting. Well, he should know EVs pretty well. He says, what would you recommend with J3400 or NACS and CCS? So I wonder what he does in the industry. So whether he's an installer or something. I don't know. You want some space for doggo in the back, and for that, I think Model Y looks really attractive. I wouldn't worry too much about buying a CCS one car now, or even, leasing one or anything like that. I wouldn't worry about getting that car at all, because adapters are going to sort it all out, and those CCS networks are going to be around for a long time. New networks are going to be coming along in North America, and I think they'll just be dual headers. I think they'll be a single unit, a single dispenser, and I think they'll just have two cables on. We have that a lot because we've got loads of CHAdeMO cables over here, way more cables than there are Leafs on the road. So I think everything will be CCS1 and NACS J3400 as well. So I wouldn't worry about that. Yeah, I would edge those. If it's on your mind, I'm not going to try and dissuade you from going for the, for the Tesla plug. And so for you, probably a Model Y is about right.
Yeah,
I think so.
Model Y is the way to go. Okay.
Just for the space in the back, because you're going to have two adults, two kiddos, and quite a large dog as well. Now, you can't move into minivan territory with a budget of 45. You can't go ID Buzz, because when it comes out, it'll be long range, be expensive where you are. And you don't need to. And you can't go three row on your budget of 45, unless you get like an old Model X or something, but don't do that. So I think for that budget, for 45, Model Y is a bargain. Now, if you are watching this immediately as the podcast comes out, Tesla have said that prices will go up from the 1st of April, which is interesting. It's the inverse of what they've always done. In order to spike sales at the end of the quarter, they've often said, hey, we're going to reduce prices for this long. Now they've said, we're going to raise prices on this date. And that is the first day of the next quarter. So depending on when you put your order in, and depending if you want to go inventory, a $37,000, a $38,000 Model Y, when I looked earlier this week, they were around in inventory from Tesla at Tesla.com. And that's a really stunning deal for the Model Y. They are over capacity at the moment, and they're juicing the market with discounts. And it's really, really attractive.
So I'm not really sure where to go with this one. Model Y makes sense. It's a great, it's a great recommendation. We need to give them, it's just another option. So I looked up real quick, the Volvo XC40 Recharge, that's a pure all electric version. And it's just that this one here is right at 45,000. So MSRP is higher, a lot higher than that. So this would involve a bit of shopping around, but this would also get you that other Maryland rebate, I think, which would be great. I would say maybe go try one of these out and see how you feel about that.
And let us know, what do you think about the size of it though, Dom? Because we tried the XC40.
Okay.
And we got two kiddos. We don't have a dog. Mm-hmm. But it was the size. And in fairness, the Polestar's not that much bigger. But it was just the space in the back that put my wife off of that. I think with a doggo, with quite a big dog, you almost need the electric XC60 or even, EX90, but it's fabulously expensive. You see a lot of those kind of dogs jumping out the back of XC90s, in the country.
Right. And it is a golden, so it's a pretty large dog too, right?
I worry that's a little bit too big of a doggo for the XC. What do you think? Or do you think they should? Oh, you should try it at least.
Yeah, I mean, at least check it out. I mean, see what you think in person. I don't know. Definitely not the C40, which is like the coupe version.
No.
You want that long roof to give you maximum space in the rear, I think. Yeah. Yeah, but that's all I got. I don't know. Tom?
So I love XC40s. I think they're fabulous vehicles. I really like one. Don't know if it's going to work for them with this use case, Dom. Besides the space in the back, does not have a lot of space for a big Golden in addition to the kids. The range is going to be a problem because one of his qualifications was he needs to do a 225-mile trip once a month up to New Jersey.
Yeah, good job.
So that is true. You're going to be woefully short with the XC40. If you don't mind doing a 20, 25-minute stop each way, that's what you'd have to do to make it with the XC40. So like Martin, I'm leaning towards what Ryan himself said right up front was Model Y. I think that's the best fit for you. Mach-E would work here too. Don't forget now Ford has access to the supercharger network. So you've got both CCS stations and Tesla superchargers. But even in the winter, at highway speeds, you may be stretching it thin with 225 miles on the East Coast coming up to Jersey, you know, when it's 10, 15 degrees out. Even that's going to push it a little bit. So you might you probably would have to stop just to be comfortable, you know, in the dead of winter. You might make it with the Y. They're fabulously efficient Tesla vehicles. You know, they seem to have the efficiency down pat. The Mustang Mach-E might make it. If this was all warm weather driving, I'd throw another EV out there and say the new ID4s would be something to consider. It's got enough room in the back for the Golden, I think, with the kids. But honestly, like Martin, I'm kind of leaning towards your own thought that a Model Y might be work for you. And I think that might be the best choice in this particular situation all around. And then you asked about the leasing on CCS vehicles. I don't know if that I don't really know if that's going to affect vehicles that much. I think maybe as we get closer to the companies switching over to native NACS inlets, like when Ford is saying, oh, and you know, in 2 months our vehicles are going to start coming with NACS inlets. I think there's going to be a fire sale on CCS vehicles, but I don't think that's going to be the case now and not for a while. So I don't know if that's going to really help you much on the lease deals for you to get a CCS vehicle just because of that. I think it's not even on so many people's radar at this point that it hasn't affected. I don't think it has affected you know, demand for the vehicles yet. So let me
throw this up on screen really quickly. This is inventory right now. So it's before the end of the month as we record this. It's the last month of the quarter, last few weeks of the quarter as well. This is Model Y long range. This isn't rear-wheel drive, long range, and it's 42,620, down from 49, because like I say, Tesla got overcapacity, they're juicing the market. 35,120 after the tax credit, local incentives as well. And does it say whether this is an X demo or whether it's got miles on it? I can't see, but... and 10,000 miles free supercharging as well. Like I say, the Model Y... As much as everyone knows it, is a bit of a sleeper bargain at the moment because Tesla are desperate to sell them. They just need to get them out the door. So
35K after tax credit.
Before local incentives as well. Yeah. Come on. That is long range. That's the long range one.
Yeah, you don't need to look for anything else.
You're done. You know? You're absolutely done. Like, no one's talking about the Model Y.
So I sort of screwed up my choice, so I need a redo.
No,
come on. We've got to move on.
We're moving on to that. Dom, you've spoken your piece. We're on to three now.
I'm just saying.
All right, go ahead.
That's not a bad right shout.
Here. You can see this. Chevy Blazer, it's been it was under stop sale for a little while because of software issues, but then they dropped the price. They've brought it back, dropped the price. So if you don't hear anything bad about the software over the next couple months, I think this is something else you might consider. Actually, it's got a fair amount of room in the back, more than the XC40. and a decent price. And that's also eligible for the $7,500 tax credit, I believe, right?
It is now.
Yeah, right. Did it, it got qualified now. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That's the 2LT, which is the lowest trim. Is it all-wheel drive or is it rear-wheel?
I'm not sure. I didn't check it, but there was a bunch of different trims in that same sort of area. I mean, you can find, without getting up over 45, you should be able to find some in all-wheel drive if that's what you need. I think I saw an RS trim up there as well, besides the 2LT. So there's probably some other other options for you out there. So our final email comes to us today from a different Ryan, Ryan P. He says, "Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan. Big fan of your show. Keep up the great work you are doing here on Batteries Included Podcast. I'm looking to get my first EV here in the near future. I currently drive 100 miles round trip Monday to Friday for work in a 2020 Hyundai Santa Fe. Rarely go anywhere on the weekends, but do make an occasional trip a couple times a year to Northeast Ontario, or Ontario, Northeast Ohio, and South Jersey from Southern Delaware. That's about up to Northeast Ohio. That's about 400 miles. I'm looking to try and not go over 45,000. I've been looking at Tesla's new and used. I'd like to avoid CCS standard vehicles like the plague, if possible, because of DC chargers. Recently, I had the opportunity to drive a Model 3 and sit in the Model Y when Tesla came to put on a test drive event in my area. I think I'm leaning towards a Model Y because of its size as well as the long-range trim of the Model 3 and Y. My only concern is with the charging for Model Y long range due to the 4680 cell batteries. I will keep an open mind and listen to your suggestions for other vehicles, though. Cheers, Ryan." All right. So, Tom, what do you have in mind for Ryan? He seems kind of set on the Model Y, but he's concerned about 4680s. Do you have any other suggestions for them, or...
So, you know, he's set on the Y, so let's not try to put him in something else. He'll be very happy with it. We just went over why the Y is such a great vehicle at such a great price. But I do want to talk a little bit about his concerns with charging 4680 cells. So, yeah, it seems like the 4680 cells take a little bit longer to charge on your superchargers or, you know, fast charging. I think what some, and I haven't done any recordings, but enough people have out there right now, it seems like, and recently I was looking at a video made by Brendan Flash, who knows a lot about DC fast charging. And he's got a Model Y with the 4680s, and his car says it takes him about 39 to 40 minutes, I think it was, to charge from 10 to 80%. So that's a little bit longer than what other Teslas take. It's not longer than what a lot of other electric vehicles take, to be honest with you. But a Tesla, you'd probably do it in 28 minutes or something like that. A Model Y or a Model 3 that doesn't have the 4680s, has the 2170s. So what you're talking here about is 10 minutes longer of waiting. How frequently are you supercharging? You know, it looks like, you know, for weekdays, you're not going to have to supercharge it. I'm assuming you charge at home. You drive 100 miles a day. You know, it would be, you know, a problem if you had to supercharge constantly. You'd be at a supercharger every other day. And it looks like you drive like 30,000 miles a year. You drive a lot. So to worry about an extra 10 minutes on the weekends, and I don't even know if it's every weekend, if it's, you know, one weekend a month, you take a long, you know, we do make an occasional trip a couple times a year to, you know, to Northeast Ohio and South Jersey from Southern Delaware. So there'll be a few times a year. Let's say it's once a month, you know, so it's 10 minutes longer. It's an extra cup of coffee once a month. I think sometimes I'm worried that Kyle and Brandon and I are doing a disservice by micromanaging charging sessions and analyzing them to the death, you know. And it's just I'm so interested in this and how electric vehicles charge and how different vehicles charge on different stations and different temperatures. But I think sometimes we go overboard in scaring people and saying, like, this is unacceptable that it takes 40 minutes to charge, you know, from 0 to 80%, when it would be acceptable if it was 30 minutes. You know, so think about that. You know, if this was something you had to do every other day, yeah, it'd be problematic. Another 10 minutes, it's going to eat up time. But if you're talking about every month you go on these long road trips and it's another 5 to 10 minutes sitting there waiting to charge, is that really going to make that much of a difference in how much you enjoy that vehicle? So please don't stress over that. There are some vehicles that charge really poorly. But you know, if you're getting to 80%, and it's not even the percentage, it's the range. The Model Y has really good range. So, you know, if you're adding 200 plus miles in under 40 minutes, that's, as far as I'm concerned, acceptable. It should be better, and it will get better as time goes on. That'll be 20 minutes, and then it'll be 15 minutes. But, you know, to me, the Model Y with the 4680 cells should be charging better, but it's not nearly as big a handicap to make me not buy the vehicle. And it's a great overall vehicle. Take a breather, spend a little bit more time at that DC fast charger once a month, and you know, you'll be fine. Watch the batteries included podcast on your screen while it takes you an extra 10 minutes, and you know, you'll leave from that charging session learning more and with a smile on your face.
Right on. What,
there's a bit of a rant there, I know.
No, it was awesome.
I am concerned sometimes that we scare people by micromanaging and analyzing to death every little charging session.
Right. So what you got there, Martin?
So, yes, everything Tom said. Everything Tom said. I went yesterday from Dorset, to my UK listeners, Dorset to Birmingham and back. It's a 7-hour round trip. It's about 400 and something miles to go from my house. I had to go do a quick visit, pick up an eBay thing that I bought and come back again. And so I did two charging stops, both very quick in the Polestar 2. And I was planning my second stop on the way home. And I was tossing up whether to stop at the 120 kilowatt or the 150 kilowatt chargers, both sites that I hadn't been to before and both sites that I wanted to visit and take a picture, do a video and have a little wander around. And I caught myself. And what a ridiculous choice. You know, so yes, I arrived at 4% state of charge. So yes, I did. And I did go to the GridServe site. They put 12 new of the ABB 150 units in. It's beautiful. And it's on one of our main roads, the M4 between London and Bristol. And I'm glad I went there. And so, yes, I did get maximum charge speed. But I also needed to stop for 12 minutes, and I was 18 minutes. And because we pay a lot of money for DC fast charging, like $1 a kilowatt hour, I spent like £8 more than I needed to, simply because I had to, it's the motorway services, so walk into the building, go use the restrooms, go get myself some food, queue up for a coffee and get back. You can't do that in less than 15, 18 minutes. Anyway, so everything Tom said. Listen, I think people, Teslas are so ubiquitous, they come to us and they're almost asking permission of like, I want to get a Tesla, but is there anything else I should be thinking of? Because they hear us talk about all these different cars that are out there. This is a screenshot, because we're recording this on March 19th, by the way. This is a screenshot from April 7th last year, because I like nothing more than just keeping screenshots of what Tesla had on their website a year ago. This is 12 months ago, Model Y. The Model Y all-wheel drive, which I believe had 4680 cells at the time. I believe they were the 4680s.
Yes.
$50,000. The long range, $53,000. That was 2170s. And the Y, the performance, $57,000. That is 2170s. And we've just discussed a long range inventory car for effectively, well, it's cash on the hood now, $35,000 before local incentives. What's happened in the last year with Tesla prices is being under talked about. And yeah, I've been pretty hard on Tesla. And well, you know, at times, things that have been promised that haven't materialized. I've not been backwards about criticizing the company. But then I think sometimes people say, oh, you don't like Teslas, do you? No, I do. I really like them. I just don't want people to lie about, well, the Roadster's going to fly and do 0-60 in a second, which is ridiculous because it won't. Stop it. Let's talk about the amazing things they're doing, which is getting a Model Y in your driveway for 35 grand. Buy one now. Buy one now.
I would say, thank you, Martin. I just add a couple points just quickly. So they don't sell the 4681 now brand new. You have to travel back in time or find one maybe on their used inventory, you know, site. You can't even buy a 4680 brand new right now anyway. So, but you can get a great deal on the long range Model 3, which has more range. You do those big trips every once in a while, and you're doing a lot of miles every day. I would just go the big Model Y long range all-wheel drive, sold, done, right there. And yeah, that'd be my recommendation. All right. So
we're all in agreement on this last one.
So. We are.
Oh, yeah.
Go and buy one.
Oh,
go for it.
Order it tomorrow. Do it.
Right. So that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all again for joining us. It's been great spending this time with you, and we'll see you all again next time. Ciao.